never rests.
Beauty killers in the sky. What a thrilling time to be alive.
Good Thursday morning. It's the Georgia Show here, Alex HQ YouTube channel. I'm Jake Roos. He's Jake Rowe. We're the Oak Ridge Boys of the Beat. The Georgia Show today presented by American Pride Bank. Guys, look, if you're looking for localized banking solutions, small business loans, just opening a new checking account, looking for a place to do it a little bit closer to home and with people that are listening to you every step of the way, American Pride Bank, the bank to check out. They have branches in Alpharetta, Athens, and online at American.bank. You can get in touch with them for all of your banking needs. They are member FDIC and an equal opportunity lender. So get to AmericanPride.bank or visit them in bank soon. Jim, a lot to get to here on this edition of the Georgia Show. Kind of been a crazy week for the Georgia Bulldogs in a lot of regards. Just kind of a weird week in general, I think, in the world of recruiting. But the big news, three commitments for the Georgia Bulldogs. And outside of that, several commits say we're done. We're locking it down. And that's kind of the big storyline of the week is you're getting some of your high-profile guys to shut down while adding three new bodies to the 2026 class.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of – I wanted to get into this topic on the show because – contracts are being signed. I don't think that's it at all. I think what happened was, you know, we've seen guys do this for other schools, and I think what ended up going on with Georgia was Seven Cloud did it. They had a situation with Brady Marchese, and they got him to shut it down. Jordan Smith wasn't even
He wasn't really visits around
anyway. So why not? Let's throw that one on the heap. And then Justice Fitzpatrick, we told you already Russ had told you already that probably wasn't going to happen. He wasn't going to take the Ohio State visit anyway. And I think it was just a momentum grab. You know, listen, this is a PR campaign just like anybody else, and Kirby's always played it. You know, what's funny is the same folks talking about executing contracts, like there's something substantive behind the scenes here, okay? I think – how do you pronounce that word? Substantive?
Substantive, I believe.
Substantive. Okay. Behind the scenes are the same ones that used to say, hey, you know, Georgia gets bad news, good news is coming. Kirby's got something in the pipe, you know? So I think that's all it is. And what I really wanted to get to too is I think now if these guys are to be taken at their word and they're not, you know, low down, rotten, dirty liars. Okay. I'm just joking. They're none of them are that. I've said it over and over again. These guys get appealed to by professional salesmen and guys who learn craft as they get older and older into this coaching business. It's very hard. I think the total is now five. You know, if you count the guys that have like announced it, that have made it known, like I'm pretty sure Jared Curtis's recruitment is shut down.
Yeah.
Good luck trying to get your boy that committed earlier this week. Zach Lewis away from Georgia. Zach Lewis away from Georgia. Good luck on that one. You know, it might be harder to get a fat kid off of his mom than at an age at 3 months old than to get Zach Lewis away from Georgia. And then, but you know, just looking at the guys that have kind of come out and made it known, you've got Zach who has announced it publicly. Brady Marchese, Seven Cloud. Was trying to give him an even cooler name, Seven Cloud. Jordan Smith and Justice Fitzpatrick. So you've got five guys there, five of the better players in the class in a lot of instances. All of them four star or better. I think if you ask a Georgia fan, who they would want, you'd end up with a lot of different answers. I'd want to keep out of that group. But now you got five guys that have shut it down and publicly. And I think that anytime you can do that, that's kind of a good thing. And again, it's five, all five of those guys, I think, are guys that Georgia fans should really want to keep. And I can say this too, and we reported this on Dogs HQ Plus. Listen, I try not to be super adamant about anything we report. I try to be careful with that, especially in recruiting, because just stuff changes, man. Stuff changes so quick. Georgia did not get outside of its comfort zone even a tiny bit on Brady Marchese from an NIL standpoint, from a financial standpoint. They didn't up a bunch of offers. They didn't throw a bunch at it. Michigan came in hot and heavy. Georgia with 100% confidence. And he may eventually pick Michigan in the end. They may end up getting back as a family and talking about this stuff and getting it figured out. But Georgia, without a doubt, was well under the highest amount that kid was offered. And he wanted to stay home, or at least for now, wants to stay home and shut his recruitment down. And Georgia was happy to hear that. They would love to keep him in the fold. You don't coach speed like that, especially when you got speed and size like that. Look at his film. He's a really willing blocker. They've had a lot of success with players like that, just in high floor with also a pretty decent ceiling.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And I think that I'm not going to totally discount this idea regarding the contract thing and the July 1st deadline. I do think that there's potentially something to that. I think also, though, from the Georgia perspective, and this is not to say that they took like the Clemson route of like, okay, you know, don't take visits elsewhere or we're done. Georgia's never really taken that approach. But I do think that they probably are moving from a place of like, hey, look, we need to know because we've got some other guys and we got some other opportunities here. And if this isn't going to be us, we're going to have to just move on. So either you're in or you're out because we've got to fill these spots and we've got to know what we've got in order to do that. So I feel like that's where a lot of this stems from. As you move through these official visit weekends, as you move through the camp season, you know, you see guys adding new offers, you see some new guys kind of emerging, and you wonder, okay, where do the guys fit in? Well, to some degree, it's not the most unheard of thing. Certainly, I know you know this, but like, it's not the most unheard of thing to basically offer another kid to leverage a kid to commit, right? To say, look, we got this guy now. He's kind of waiting on the hook. I think that there could be some of that stemming. They need to get this stuff wrapped up before the summer. The summer has become the important time in the recruitment cycle. I believe Georgia now 5 since official visits have started, if I'm not mistaken. So this has become the time when it comes to recruiting. And you just got to have those numbers kind of in line by the time August rolls around. Does that kind of afford you that opportunity to continue chasing some guys like Elijah Griffin, like you did KJ Bolden a few years ago? You know, even you didn't work out with Justice Terry, but you had all fall to recruit him as well. I mean, it gives Georgia that leeway to say, okay, we've got all of the major pieces in place. Now let's go out here and try to catch some big fish.
Yeah, and I think you hit on the one with the I need to know part of it is such a reasonable approach in today's recruiting landscape. Like, dude, we've got to know. Like, we want you here really bad, but if you're gonna jump the market, just at very least, let's consider you a decommitment. And we've got to kind of move on. We're gonna continue to recruit you, but we need you to kind of do what Jerry Curtis did, and that's go ahead and open your recruitment up. Because listen, at the end of the day, you know, there were a lot of negative things said about Jared Curtis from fans, from fans of other programs. You know, other programs, oh, he's going out to drive up the price, all this stuff. He, other fans, hey, he knows he's not going to do anything at Georgia, all this stuff. At Georgia fans, he's a diva. He's looking for more money. He's wanting attention, all of that stuff. At the end of the day, when I look at that, I look at it as, man, I think that was handled extremely well, because ultimately what happened is Jared Curtis got to take a lot of guilt-free visits and see a lot of schools and take a lot of visits from coaches and kind of get a feel for it, right? And Georgia got a chance to get – Georgia recruited other people. Georgia recruited the O'Neal kid, the Oklahoma kid, Jaden O'Neal, I think is his name. They recruited him. They recruited Bo Bentley. Okay, they ramped up the pressure on Dia Bell and tried to make some inroads there using Sony Michel down there at American Heritage and those connections. Georgia was able to get out and recruit. That was a we need to know situation, whether it played out that way or not. And I think that coaches are going to ask for that. Like, hey, guys, listen, we need you to make a call here. Like we've got to know where we're going because we've got to fill roster spots. And it's increasingly difficult to do that. And it's increasingly volatile. And, you know, you kind of get the chair pulled out from under you in so many different ways. So, yeah, I think different things played into it. I don't think they're executing contracts right now, though. I don't think that's even legal.
No. I don't mean to say it from that perspective, but I do think that there are probably some things you need to get
verbal contracts. Yes.
Yeah. And I think you look, we got to know. I mean, as much as it is right, you're going to take the spot. It's, are you going to take this money? Because we're going to have to reposition this cash as well. I think that, I definitely think both of those things are coming to fruition. And look, I mean, frankly, some of these contracts, I don't know if Georgia's doing it. Maybe some of these contracts are getting executed. There's a reason Mark Bowman's not taking the visit to Georgia this week.
Yeah, from what I was told earlier this week by a good source that Mark Bowman entered into a deal with USC that basically said this deal is void and you owe us money if you even so much as visit another program.
Right.
I wanted to stay at home. That was why I did this. This was that was the driving reason. That's just kind of hilarious to me, but it is what it is, man. I mean, it's, you know, I can't fault a kid for wanting to do that, but anytime this is a business now, and honestly, I think we're going to move forward and we're not going to hear very many stories of it because, you know, not all hit dogs are going to holler. Okay. But, I think the athletes are getting more than they bargained for here. They're going to, the bear's going to eat them sometimes and they're going to end up in, this was an athlete friendly process to begin with. The athlete got to pick who they wanted. They got to make money off the books. A lot of them did. They got a bunch of benefits and they got coddled and they got loved and you know, they got their pick of the litter. They got to kind of jerk these colleges around and kind of make them through hoops, and they had to go through the decommitment process. And then it got extremely friendly for them where they got money and they still had all the power and they still had all the control and all of that. Now that they've gone full-fledged business, they have to deal with the other side of it now, something that 18 to 22-year-olds just normally don't have to deal with it, the cutthroat, you know, aspect of business where, hey, they're going to put some stuff in fine print. They're going to catch you napping every then. They're going to get you in situations that you never envisioned. And I mean, you don't think Mark Bowman's going to maybe look up at some point in September, October, November, if USC's really struggling and think, man, that money's going to be cool, but, you know, like, and I've said it before too, no. Like, you know, you're
I wouldn't. I'd be like,
I mean, we all do. We all do. Like, even if you are doing, I mean, heck, man, we've been in jobs before where we've gotten raises, right? And then the raises come with more responsibility. And you do have to look back and think, hey, I remember time was simpler when I was making $38,000 a year. You know, like there were some simpler things about that. There were some stresses I didn't have. So, I mean, we all do it. But I do think there's going to be some second guessing, only human nature, especially when you look at the fact that, I mean, listen, these guys don't get to where they're at simply because they're bigger, stronger, and faster than everybody else. They want it really bad.
Sure.
The streets are kind of rife with guys that had raw ability to go do something big. They just didn't have the dog in them. They didn't have that competitiveness to them. And I think, you know, Mark Bowman's probably one of those guys. And at some point, if USC's struggling, half empty stadiums on unofficial visits when he rolls down there and that, I don't know. I guarantee you it'll enter his mind that, hey, I'm glad I'm getting all this money, but I wish all this other stuff was a lot better.
Maybe so. I don't know. I wouldn't for me.
Hey, first time they gave me a bonus,
man. We're not, because we're thinking about slight differences. Yes, you and I have gotten raises, but there's a big difference between $10,000 to $20,000 and $3 million. I mean, I can be a lot happier. I can figure things out. I can have a lot less self-reflection for $3 million.
But it's not a men in black wand that makes you forget about everything.
No, I get it.
You know what I'm saying? But I see what you, dude. I, listen, there's a reason I'm not doing that, and I'm competitive, dude. But knowing what I know now, if I could get $500,000, I may not even show up for year two.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, right.
I may not even show up for the second season.
I'm going to get this money. I'm going to take care of my body. I'm going to go invest, and I'm going to live a happy life, man.
I'm going to go get me a little compound in Venezuela where you can't extradite me, and I'm not even going to pay taxes on it. I'm just going to disappear and not worry about a single thing.
This is how Jake Rowe starts Jonestown. This is what this is.
No, that's brother. I don't have any desire to get a following. I'll talk to people on the phone. I'll just call you on my sat phone, and we can handle it that way. Moving to the team side of things, though, more game times are released now. I've heard a lot of people upset that the Ole Miss and Texas games aren't night games. They could be. But they're a little further out, so the SEC is going to allow those games to be flexed.
I expect Texas will be.
I do, too. It just all depends on how good these two teams are. I mean, Arch Manning gets hurt early in the year, and Georgia struggles, and you're dealing with 2 3-loss teams come December, 3:30 game. But knowing that a 3:30 floor – and listen, 3:30 in November is a night game, brother. I've covered plenty of them. The 3:30 in November is essentially a night game. It's night game by halftime, all right? I mean, it's as much of a night game as a 7 p.m. kickoff in September is.
Sure.
I can tell you that. So, you know, that's another thing to look at as well. But Alabama, Georgia, Alabama's first trip to Georgia in 10 years, to UGA in 10 years. Kirby Smart's never gotten to play Alabama inside Sanford Stadium. Out of all the matchups they've had, Alabama has absolutely owned them in Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And Alabama has absolutely owned them. Well, two pretty competitive games in Tuscaloosa, but has won both of those. You know, Georgia won in Indianapolis, but it hasn't won any of the other places. First time they're actually going to get a chance to play inside Sanford Stadium, and it's going to be a 7:30 kickoff. That one's going to be rocking. Some livers will be damaged. It's going to be a rough day for moms and dads, their freshmen that just enrolled at Georgia about a month earlier.
Yeah, no doubt. I remember that game so vividly 10 years ago. I remember it. I was working at UGA Sports at the time. I remember Roddy. I believe it rained like hell that day. And I remember
all week long it rained.
Yeah. And I remember walking out there with Roddy, and we were standing on the sideline, and they came out for warmups, and we both just looked at each other and we were like, this is about to get out of control. Because Alabama was like 1.5 times the size that Georgia was. I mean, that was the end of the Mark Richt era. And that was, you know, that all that was, it was a different level. It was a different time. But Alabama looked like a bunch of juggernauts, and Georgia looked like a high school team comparatively.
Yeah.
I mean, from a size perspective. So yeah, hard to believe it's been 10 years since they got back into Sanford Stadium. I think, God, prior to that one.
That was the, you know, and the funny thing about that is, if I'm not mistaken, that was the last pre-injury Nick Chubb game, if I'm not mistaken.
Ah, yes. It
was the last time we got a look at Nick Chubb without him. I need to look at that 2015 schedule, but I think that was the last time we got a look at Nick Chubb pre-gruesome knee injury.
Am I remembering correct that was the – Georgia, how many times has Alabama been to Georgia in like the last 20 years? It can't be much.
No, it hasn't been. I mean, they were there for the blackout game where they beat Snot out of Georgia.
Yeah, that was 08.
And then they were in Athens, I think, 5 years before that. That was Nick Chubb, because Nick Chubb got hurt on the first play of the Tennessee game.
So it's been twice in 20 years that they've been there?
Well, they were, yeah. Just twice in the past 20 years.
08 and 15.
Yeah, 08 and 15. Wow. And prior to that, I want to say it was like 2000. Was it 2003? Yeah, I think it was. I think it was 2000. Yeah, it was, because you had played Alabama in Tuscaloosa in 2002 in the Pat Dye man enough game. You know, he had questioned whether Georgia was man enough to beat Alabama. Some people think Pat Dye did that on purpose so as to kind of motivate Georgia. But, yeah, so Alabama's last, let's say, five trips to Athens have been, I think they see they were in they were there in 1995, I believe. Yeah, 95, 2003, 2008, 2015, and this will be the fifth trip since 1995. Wow. Yeah, wow. So in the past years, this is their fifth trip in 30 years, which is, I don't know, man. It's not that surprising considering the SEC has gone through so many schedule changes.
Sure.
Since then, you're adding and subtracting all that stuff. But, you know, getting them in town for a night game is a big deal. I don't think I'm going to go ahead and make a bet. I wish I could get any sort of odds on this. If they gave me like minus 40,000 on this, I would still put my whole life on it. Georgia's minus 40,000 to wear black jerseys against Alabama. I would bet everything. I would bet everything. If I could borrow $100,000, I'd bet it $100,000 to make $200,000. I'd do it. I would $200.
Yeah, sure.
I would absolutely do it. Georgia's not going to wear the black jerseys, but they got Kentucky at noon, which is another game. Honestly, that makes me a little bit more worried about that game. But kind of Kentucky's, I don't know. I don't know how good they're going to be offensively. And the Mississippi State game,
quarterback now.
I don't know that guy who finished the year for them. I believe. I know Zach Calzada, I think, is at.
Oh, that's right. Calzada's there.
But I don't know if he's going to start because they finished the season with somebody that they replaced Brock Vandegrift with. And you know what's cool? I don't want to get off on a rabbit trail, but I've seen a lot of – when Brock Vandegrift got engaged recently, so many Kentucky fans, there was a disproportionate response for a guy that spent 1 year there and it didn't go very well. It just kind of goes to show you how I love that dude and how good of a reputation he has as a person. But moving past that, Mississippi State, not really happy with this per se, but not really upset with it. That's going to be 11 a.m. kickoff, which is, I found pretty odd. A.m. local kickoff. So that'll be a deal where it's going to be noon. You want to deal with Starkville at night. Maybe a little less degree of difficulty there.
Yeah. No, I mean, I kind of rolled my head at first, but then I forgot that Mississippi State did pretty well against Georgia last time they played. So,
Well, actually, that one, I mean, Georgia blew them out, but it was a game at halftime. I think.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I think they returned a kickoff for a touchdown or a punt.
What was that guy? What was the kid's wide receiver that was just tearing them apart?
Oh, I can't remember. I know Ladd tore them apart
or something.
You're talking about last year? Yeah.
Yeah.
Last year's game, sure. I was talking about the last time they were in Starkville. That was a game. Yeah, that was a game at halftime. And I don't think – did Kevin Coleman had a big game against Georgia? I can't remember who was really good in that one. But 41-31, Carson threw a late interception. Mm-hmm. And that game kind of let them get back into it. That was a three game for Carson. But Georgia kind of did keep them at arm's length for most of the way. But the fact that you don't have to play in Starkville at night – you will, however, have to play at Jordan-Hare Stadium at night.
That right there is an interesting pull for Georgia. Yeah. And look, that's just not been a kind environment. And it's not for anybody. I mean, Jordan-Hare is one of the hardest stadiums to win in this league, in college football. I mean, the place gets rocking. And it really – the thing that's tough about Auburn is it doesn't matter how good Auburn is. They're going to be up for a night game against Georgia, regardless. And so the fans will show out, they will show up, and they will give it all they got. And that place, I mean, you and I have been there plenty of times.
Oh, yeah.
To know that it is it's loud. It's insanely loud. And it's a lot more well-constructed stadium than Williams-Brice. The people come down so far and so close to the field that it creates just such a rumble. Like Williams-Brice, people are on top of you. The sidelines there are super thin, but at Jordan-Hare, they bring those seats down so far that it gets wild. And also too, that bird is scary.
Georgia has won 10 straight games against Auburn outside of Jordan-Hare Stadium. Now, regardless, if you just go just raw numbers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, they've won 8 in a row, period. Okay. So Georgia has, going back to 2005 was the last time that Auburn beat Georgia at home at that game. Very disappointing game. Georgia had kind of a hobbled DJ Shockley and busted a coverage there late in the game. Auburn, since 2005, Auburn has beaten Georgia three times, all three times at Jordan-Hare Stadium. One of those was Jordan-Hare, and two of those, and another was Cam Newton. The other one was the 40-17 game in 2017 when Georgia went in there as the number one team in the country. You know, Georgia's had some blowouts, some easy wins at Auburn. They've had a lot of easy wins in Athens. You know, should have actually the 21-14 game, I believe that was back in 2019 at Auburn. That one should have been a blowout. Eric Stokes dropped a pick when it was in the fourth quarter when it was 1-0. Auburn ended up going to score on that drive, scored again. Actually had a chance to get back in that game and could it. Our man Seth Rainey, I remember, was rode with us from UGA Sports that day. And he was an Auburn fan, but he went to Georgia. He was pretty upset that Auburn had lost that game. Shout out to Seth. He battled and beat leukemia a little while back, if I'm not mistaken. All right.
Sun Heist.
What do we got on Sun Heist?
Sun Heist. Incredible. Great product. Out of Jefferson, Georgia, Shane and Mary Heist start a product that is both affordable and incredibly well made. And that's probably the best compliment I can give to any product. I've told you a million times on this show, Jake Rowe agrees with me. Rusty Mansell has said the same thing. We'd wear these things even if they did not sponsor this show. They are incredibly lightweight, they are incredibly well made. They have survived being in the possession of Jake Rowe for several months at this point and are unbroken. The thing
I've got to compliment them on is how unlosable they are, but I haven't lost them yet. There must be something there too. That's the only thing I can think of.
I know you've sat on these things. I know you've thrown bags on them. I know that you have your dog.
I sat a watermelon on one the other day. They didn't even rip them. I rolled the watermelon into the passenger seat right on top of them. It didn't break them and it didn't warp them.
Your hellhound of a dog has probably gotten a hold of them at some point. Sun Heist makes a great product that stands through whatever you got going on in your life. Tons of 5-star reviews, as you can see right there. Code DOGSHQ20 gets you 20% off of your first purchase at Sun Heist. So you got an already great price, and we're giving you a little bit more off of the top. It's a great product for getting out on the lake, for taking a hike, for grilling this summer, for enjoying the 4th of July with the friends and family, getting ready for tailgate season. You're going to need a new pair of shades. Sun Heist got you. They've got great quick shipping. The customer service is second to none. They're going to take care of you at Sun Heist. They've got free returns, so try them out. You got nothing to lose. You got everything to gain in a great pair. So sunheist.com, code DOGSHQ20. Get over there, 20% off your first purchase. Support local and support Georgia-based businesses.
Absolutely. All right, you mentioned you mentioned three commitments this week. One of them is a punter. Let's go ahead and get this out of the way, because as much as Rusty loves them, I'm not big on them.
I understand. I get it. All right. But the reason that this guy is worth talking about, this under the Kirby Smart era, that's probably, I mean, Jake Camarda was a bit of a slider guy, but Marshall Long. Tall. Remember Marshall Long? He was a big guy. Yeah. I mean, they've been looking for some big dudes. Yeah, Drew Miller, 6'2", I think, 220-ish.
Well, I mean, punters in general, I think we may need some research here. We may need to get Charles Power on here to talk about this. Punters in general, kind of big dudes. Pat McAfee's a good sized dude. Okay. Yeah. Gordon Neely Kelso that punted back in Georgia was very much in that Brett Thorson mold. Maybe not a small guy, you know, thick, I think you would say, a little on the thick side. There have been, obviously everybody knows the thicker kicker from Kentucky little while back. I can't remember his name, but that dude was money against Georgia. I think he hit like 10 of 10 against Georgia over a couple, 2 or 3 years.
Sure.
He's a big guy, and apparently a very good football player in general. I'm going to try to get to his huddle here in just a second.
Irwinton?
I believe so.
Yeah.
I'm not 100% sure what high school he even plays at, to be honest with you. Oh, yeah, he's Dublin right there. Yeah, yeah. He plays at Trinity Christian School in Dublin, so he plays private school ball. But he wears a lot of hats, man. And that's kind of what a lot of punters do at the high school level. You know, they play a lot of different positions. And
if you're 6'3", 220 at Trinity Christian School in Dublin, you're going to have to play some things other than punter. I'm telling you right now. I mean, that's just the name of the game. I'm not saying they play bad football there by any stretch of the imagination, but there's only so many people that size at that school, I guarantee you.
Yeah, and you know what's funny is I wonder if we were to look across the gamut of all the guys that have played at Georgia, because I can tell you a couple, at least one guy that played at Georgia a different position than punter, but he punted for his team in high school. I wonder how many of those guys there are, because I know, like, back in the day when I played, Matthew Thomas, who went and played college ball at South Carolina, he was our punter. But he was a wide receiver at South Carolina. Jason Stanley, who played at Georgia, was an incredible punter for Creekside. I think he had like a long that year of like 67 yards, had like a 60-yard carry on it, if I'm not mistaken, is what his coach told me. And he ended up, playing wide receiver at Georgia. So, I mean, these guys are – a lot of times I think you end up with a lot of athletes, probably a lot of quarterbacks that do it, that end up actually punting at the high school level, but then playing another position in college. But this guy
plays – quarterback for his high school his senior year.
Yeah. Seeing that name, man.
Wade also, Rich. This guy, yeah, Wade Register. I love a kid named Wade, dude. I mean, you got to respect a young man named Wade in this year. I do want to reference the fact that, we do not pretend, we do not fashion ourselves here at On Three, or quite frankly, at any of the, oh my God,
trucking, dude.
Or quite frankly, at any of the services, are we experts in the kicking game? But Kohl's, not the place where you can buy discount Ralph Lauren shirts.
And return your Amazon packages or something like that.
Yeah. No, Kohl's Professional Camps runs kicking camps. This guy is rated as the nation's number one punter. He is the top.
I think he just blocked that punt, by the way, which is wild.
He is a five-star. He is a five-star, the nation's number one punter by the Kohl's Professional Kicking Camps rankings, which is essentially the definitive service for such a thing. So, not a small get for a specialist, man. Georgia's done quite well in that regard, and they continue to do so. This is another one. I mean, dude, just absolutely house.
I mean, we're talking private school ball. That kid that he just ran over was probably five.
Well, like I said, man, I mean, there's only so many dudes Wade Register's size at his high school.
That's true. That's very true. They love this little cut screen with him, but yeah, he runs well. I mean, listen, I can see some fake punts in the future.
There you go. Yeah.
He's not out there playing quarterback. He's playing linebacker. He's playing middle linebacker. And
look at him shed. Oh yeah, man, get to the ball.
Yeah, he's a stud. He's a stud. I give him a little bit of props here. I'm not as excited about it as Rusty obviously is.
No. A punter commit's always fun. Then you get two offensive line commits this week as well. Zach Lewis out of North Gwinnett High School. If that feels a little Warren Erickson-y to you, I could see why. It feels that way a little bit to me.
But Warren Erickson was like a four-star prospect, pretty good player.
Tough, you know, hard-nosed kid. Not a guy that Warren Erickson, while it was a more contested recruitment, I would say, than this one, probably. But it was Georgia, right? I mean, Warren Erickson was coming to Georgia.
Yeah. Here's the thing, and Georgia's taken a lot of Zach Lewis's over the years. I mean, I think you mentioned Warren Erickson, Griffin Scroggs. Didn't work out. Drew Bobo is working out actively right now. We're seeing that kind of pan out for Georgia. Jared Wilson, a lot of these three-star kind of high, just kind of high character, high academic guys that you know, you can get into the program and you can develop them over the course of a few years. These guys are very important, in my opinion, especially with how Georgia has developed players in the past. And here's why. It takes time sometimes on the O-line. Like, I mean, yeah, you want to get those freak shows in. But listen, I remember halfway through his sophomore year, people were calling Broderick Jones a bust. You know, I mean, it wasn't that way for Amarius Mims because Mims actually got onto the field early as a sophomore. I think that was probably promised to him at some point after he held their feet to the fire in the transfer portal. But you know, it just takes some time for these O-linemen. And, you know, I do know that you look every single year and you see guys drafted on the day one, day two, and early on day three of the NFL draft who weren't highly rated offensive line prospects. They weren't, and now they're going to go play on Sunday. And, you know, I like a guy like Zach Lewis, who is 6'5", 290 pounds, 285, 290 pounds, extremely athletic. He's got to get stronger, but he's technique-wise, you know, fundamental-wise, very strong, very good player. And, you know, listen, Georgia has made a habit of taking these guys in the past, these program offensive linemen that stick around for at least 3 years. And if they don't get there, they don't get there. And if they do, they do. But you're not and honestly, I'm not saying this is the case with him, but it's been the case with a lot of different guys. May or may not even be on scholarship. Maybe one of these deals where they kind of bring him in for a couple of years before they ever put them on scholarship. I know they did that with the Cameron Kinney kid several years back, and they did it with Ladd McConkey, and that worked out. So just kind of cool the jets there on kind of where you think this thing is. There's a lot of different ways Georgia can play it. And I think Zach Lewis is a high upside kid. You don't find 6'4", 6'5", guys just floating around there. The guy I'm more in interested in is Zyke Helton, because ups and downs, and Chad Simmons brought it up great in our text thread yesterday. You know, we all talked as a staff, and we talked to the national guys in groups. And Chad said, man, there's some dog in this kid. He's been through a lot in terms of his health and those things. And there's a lot of dog in Zyke Helton.
Yeah, absolutely. I believe was down probably at one point to maybe 230 pounds, roughly. Had some health issues and seemingly has gotten those corrected. And I believe is playing closer to 290 now. What people forget about Zyke Helton because of that time that happened, Zyke Helton was committed to Alabama. Under Nick Saban, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. So this was a guy that was pretty heavily recruited out the jump. He went through some ups and downs, like you said, and now seemingly has found his way back. He's playing at a tremendous program in Carrollton, just an absolute monster, one of the best programs in the Southeast, if not the nation. Incredible coach there in Joey King. So this is a guy that has been on the radar for years and years and years. And I'll tell you this, Georgia knows what Zyke Helton is, who Zyke Helton is, and what he brings to the table. They have had ample time to evaluate that because they have been recruiting this dude for at least 3 years.
Yeah, and then one of the things that if I'm not mistaken, maybe you know him a little better than I do, but I've talked to a couple people, 6'2", 6'3", guy, which is not a massive human being. He's a center prospect, long. Very long,
yeah.
You know, high cut, big hands. Kind of remind somebody told me from a physical standpoint, like the way he looks on the hoof, kind of reminds you of Isaiah Wynn. Because he's kind of got, you know, when you say a guy's high cut, they're high hip, they're really long legs, real minimal torso, usually leads to really long arms, big hands, those types of things. And that's kind of, you know, Isaiah Wynn always said looked like a granddaddy long leg. He had a just kind of a tiny little thorax there, and just long length. On top of length coming out of it.
The thing that about Zyke, when before I knew that he was going through the health stuff, I thought that perhaps he had thinned down and was transitioning over to like five technique. He looked like a guy when I saw him at Under Armour camp a few years ago that could factor in at that position, right? I mean, he had that kind of size. He had a, like you said, he had some length to him, and you said, okay, wow, this kid looks like maybe he could kind of, you know, rush off of the edge a little bit. But O-line always kind of been the plan for him, and I'm glad that he has gotten everything back on track. And Georgia has been a major factor for him throughout. Even when he was committed to Alabama, he was still talking about Georgia. So this is one of those long tenured things. And I was going to say this about Zach Lewis, but it's probably true of Zyke Helton as well. It is a really hard thing, and it always has been, right? But in this era, more so than ever. And I'm not saying that you know, there are a lot of kids out there that love Georgia, but it's hard to find good football players who just love you for being you in this day and age.
Yeah.
And you get that in these two guys, man. And that is a thing that you cannot cultivate. That is a thing that you cannot grow. And there's a lot of people, I've seen a lot of people that are like, oh, you know, these Stacey Searles offensive line classes. Look, man, a lot of those same people are out here saying, oh, NIL ruining the game. There's some guys that are high-level football players. They're choosing it because they love the program. And there's something to be said for that. I really do believe that. You're going to get guys who want to work. You're going to get guys who largely stick around more. I think that, like I said, there's something – it's not something I would push to the side in today's day and age, probably less so than ever, to be honest with you.
The only reason, DGD, that I brought the special teams – film into this, and thanks for commenting. As always, we love you, bud. I just wanted Rusty to feel like you missed out on something. You guys can tell Rusty that we showed a little bit of punter film on the show, and he'll be real sad that he wasn't here. So apparently,
chiming into punting film in the AM. Sign me up.
Yeah, you guys are something else. Yeah, definitely a bunch of Rusty disciples. You people are, no doubt. Yeah, I mean, listen, another thing, Jake, we've seen, you may know exactly who I'm talking about here, but there's been more than one. There was a defensive lineman several years back that lost a bunch of weight, never got back on track. You know, like he kind of just quit, let it go. For somebody to have the health problems and to fight their way back and kind of get their way back also says to me something about them as well. So, you know, listen, this is an interesting one, in my opinion, and one that I'm interested to see how it works out. Who is the other kid that's a Georgia kid that's committed to Alabama, O-lineman? He was at Georgia for an official visit.
The kid out of Chris Booker.
Yeah, Chris Booker. Yeah. What's funny is Chris Booker comes from a heavy Georgia family, right? Like a family full of Georgia fans. He's committed to Alabama. Zyke Helton comes from a big Alabama family, yeah, and they rooted for Alabama growing up, and he's coming to Georgia. So, that's kind of how it works out sometimes. And, you know, we've seen it go that way a bunch of times. And Lucas Mays checking in here from Wyoming. I want to go, man. I want to get out there. I don't want to go anywhere.
You want to go to the oil field.
I don't want to go to the oil field. I started watching Landman last night with my wife, and I don't want anything to do with the oil field. So that's that. So the two offensive line commits this week, one punter. And then, Jake, just like the past two weekends, another big official visit weekend coming for Georgia. Jared Curtis is going to be in town. And Tyler Atkinson as well. I think Jared Curtis kind of let that cat out of the bag early. But June 13th, I kind of had circled as the big recruiting weekend. And it's certainly living up to that. But it doesn't necessarily stand out amongst the other recruiting weekends either. They're all pretty large.
Yeah, absolutely. Malachi Lee returns for an unofficial visit this weekend after taking his official visit for G-Day, probably as big of a target as they have on the offensive line remaining. And then one name that's really interesting to me, Jake, Valdensone, I believe is how you say it, a guy who is playing in Virginia now, but originally from Sweden, a big Swedish defensive tackle. You hear it every day. 6'3" and a half, over 300 pounds. But this guy gaining some mega steam in this class. A lot of people really, really into that guy. Those are a couple visits I'm watching for sure. And don't forget, your boy, Derek Cooper coming to town. I know Jake Rowe loves him some Derek Cooper.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't understand. So many people are like, I watch his film and I don't see it. I've never seen anything more clearly in my whole life. I understand that he's a great DB. Don't get me wrong. Like I understand that he can be an excellent defensive back. I don't understand how anybody can look at that cat's film and think, oh yeah, he's not a superstar running back. Because to me, there is just it's a no-brainer. I mean, he's a freak show. He runs away from guys. He runs through guys. He makes those subtle cuts to make people miss. Or, hey, he doesn't juke a lot of people on film. Who did Nick Chubb juke on film? Who did Todd Gurley juke on film? They didn't. They were explosive athletes that they put their foot in the ground and made that little 30-degree cut.
You don't got to juke nobody if you can just run past them.
Yeah, just run right by them. And they made those little subtle 30 to 45 degree cuts where guys ended up diving at their legs and just bounced off because they were like that. But yeah, you can find this list over at UGA Sports. Good God. I haven't worked there in a long time. Maybe you can find it over there. I don't know. The UGA Sports Covering Dogs HQ crew, let's call it that. Hey, Roddy, put a check in the mail. You know, you don't owe me a whole lot for that, but I'll give it to you. Those guys are awesome. We love them. Here's kind of what's expected in town. I don't think all of these guys are going to be in town this weekend, but this is kind of what we're looking at here for June the 20th. Zach Fort is another guy that's going to be in town. Big visit here, Jake, for Vance.
Yeah, Vance Baffert, for sure, for sure.
You want to talk about getting somebody to shut it down. I think Georgia would love to get that one shut down this weekend if it could.
Miami going to try to have some other things to say about that, no doubt about it. But
I didn't realize Derek Cooper was on the fringe of five-star range, number 35 overall prospect in the country. He's in town. Kedrick Golston II, obviously remember covering his dad. That looks like a Georgia-Tennessee battle there. And CJ
Howard.
Yeah, Corey Howard as well. Yeah. I had a guy reach out to me from a smaller school who told me when Georgia offered Corey Howard, he said, "We thought we had him hidden, but we should have known better. This kid's a freak. He's going to be an awesome player in the SEC." And this is a guy that's coached in the SEC but is at a smaller school now. He was a support staff for the SEC level, so I found that pretty interesting too. So, yeah, a really good group this weekend. Brett Colajay is another one that is kind of a big deal for Georgia. It's certainly a take in this class. The Malachi Lee thing is massive because it's on his own dime and on his own dime, right? I don't know, whatever. Maybe they probably got some sort of reimbursement built into a compensation package down the road. We've actually had a member over at Dogs HQ confirm that our man is Malachi Lee is in town. They were on a plane with him. That seems to happen from time to time in this world. So yeah, that's where we're at for this weekend. A big one. And, Georgia's going to try to make the most of it and, maybe get some more momentum, some more commitments kind of coming in June and July.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Guys, we'll have it all covered over here at Dogs HQ, which is where we work. And we appreciate you tuning in to the Georgia Show today. We'll be back with you on, Sunday or Monday. We'll figure it out. We'll see how the weekend goes for sure. But we appreciate you tuning in today on your Thursday. Big visit weekend. Stay tuned over at the Dog Walk at Dogs HQ.